Hi, this is Steve Borsch with the Minivate Gang with
Phil Wilton.
And where are we, Phil?
We're at actually the Hilton Garden Inn in lovely downtown Minneapolis on a fairly gray day. I was hoping for a lot of rain, but anyway, for Mobile March.
Mobile March Twin Cities, absolutely.
Mobile March Twin Cities, it's the first event of its kind, and we were happy to say we're sold out, which is about 100 folks, both appealing to both developers and also business, those in mobile business, whether that be marketing or advertising or just general use.
Yep. Or people that are interested in trying to figure out how to approach this space
right.
for their own respective organizations. Yep.
So, yeah, so far it's been great. We've had some good sessions. We started things off this morning with Lisa Foote from MixMobi doing some statistics, and then we had Mark Wozniak from Best Buy Mobile do
a little
keynote.
Awesome.
It did a great job. Doug Rosen from Carlson, Marketing Worldwide, presented some information, some research that they've done on mobile users. We also, I hosted a panel of media folks from radio, TV, and newspaper to talk about what they were doing in the mobile space. We also had on the developer side a couple of folks doing BlackBerry, and we also had, have we done the iPhone yet? BlackBerry and Android?
No, I think iPhone development's going on now.
Right. So,
well, you know, can I just make a comment? Because this is one of the things that I know I said this to Lisa Foote, is loved her overview.
Mm-hmm.
She made no assumptions that everybody knew this.
Mm-hmm.
She presented the information and sort of baseline stuff. And then when Mark
Wozniak
got up from Best Buy, same sort of thing. I mean, sort of positioning mobile as, you know, what Best Buy is doing from a support perspective. Then when Dave Rosen went through his
Doug.
With his psychographic, demographic information, it was absolutely fabulous. In fact, I don't often do this. I was taking furious notes and copious notes.
Were you using a pencil, Steve?
I was not. I was wearing out my e-key on the
You know, what I have noticed in during the sessions today is the some people have very heavy fingers when they're typing.
And it's very noisy.
Clickety, 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 clickety.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was important. You know, the reason that and when I say we, I mean Justin Grammons from Recursive Awesome, myself, and Linda Cummings, was that we wanted to make sure that we set a good base of let's talk about where we are, really, because it's very important for people that are enthusiastic about a technology to understand that not everybody in the free world is as enthusiastic about that same technology, that we're all on different timetables. So, you know, I think the people that come to an event like this would have to be considered early adopters. And so it's important to set that table to say, well, okay, here's what really is going on, everybody in this room probably has a smartphone. Well, we're probably, everybody that's downtown right now that has a smartphone is probably right here. And everybody else has got a feature phone or, you know, something a lot less elaborate.
Well, and that's why I'll go back to Doug's stuff, and we'll either get the slides from him. He indicated they were on SlideShare. I couldn't find them on SlideShare. But
all the slides from the presentations today, along with much of the video that we take today, will be available on the Mobile March Twin Cities site.
Perfect.
So just go to Mobile March.
TC.com.
So.
Yeah. Well, because one of the things that he did was he talked about the 8 different types of mobile users and what you're describing in terms of us that are tech savvy and using mobile devices are in the Maverick category. And the Maverick category
great.
Is five.
I'm in the same category with John McCain, great.
And Tom Cruise.
That's
right.
Getting all Mavericky.
But the interesting thing was that's 5% of the market. And that is the target that everybody is talking about,
right.
You know, chief marketing officers and technology leadership. We've got to build an iPhone app, or we've got to build an Android app, and we've got to be there, and so on. And while you need to have certainly a good experience for mobile users, it's not something that you got to drop whatever you're doing and go after.
Right.
So the thing that I really enjoyed about this morning, specifically with those presentations, it was really a great context setting of what's going on in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of, it actually made me more enthusiastic because it helped me to position it in my own mind with respect to where are the opportunities and how do you also go after those, like with Lisa, with the whole moneymaker with SMS opportunity.
Right. I mean, look how much money is being actually generated, the billions of dollars that are being generated through SMS.
Right. Yeah. Right. Text to fill in the blank.
Right.
Or text to Haiti to donate, you know, those sorts of things. Because everybody can do that. And it's easy and it's simple and it's, you know, we can put it together very, very quickly. And so that was one of the things that I looked at with respect to that context, is knowing that it doesn't have to be an iPhone app. And, oh, by the way, I want to just mention that I have been showing people the WP Touch that Minovate uses for iPhone experience and the WordPress mobile edition for all the other mobile types, and the sorts of things you can do to just essentially make your WordPress CMS or blog mobile friendly. And everyone's like, oh my God, send me the link, send me the link. Where are those?
Well, it's really funny. One of the biggest things that I really got a chuckle out of this morning is that as people were arriving, we have, you know, we had a limited number of spaces available. We have about 100 folks, another 20 presenters and sponsors and that sort of thing. What's really funny is that everybody's saying, where can I get, can you give me the agenda? Where do I pick up a copy of the agenda? It's like, I look at it, you're at a mobile conference, and you want a piece of paper.
Yeah,
you know, just go ahead and go to the website because it's mobile friendly.
Right.
You know, so we actually had to go out and print up pieces of paper for people to deal with. So I mean, I mean, it's kind of interesting to say, well, we haven't made this paperless jump completely. So it's been a very interesting situation to see, and some of those numbers have been amazing to me as well. I think that one of the reasons that we put Mobile March together, this was a concept from Justin Grammons, who runs and founded Mobile Twin Cities.
Okay.
And Mobile Twin Cities is based on this concept of both developers and non-developers alike are welcome to come every third Tuesday of the month, wherever, you know, the meeting is. Lately, it's mostly been at Refactor down in Northeast. But the concept of getting developers and business people together alike so that they can understand what the needs of each constituency are.
Right.
The one thing that I noticed, and we had a long discussion about it at a Mobile Twin Cities event, was, you know, we were talking about the things people were developing for, and most of the developers in the room were developing iPhone apps and Android apps. Yet I said, well, yeah, but isn't the most popular platform out there BlackBerry? Why is nobody developing BlackBerry apps?
Right,
well, because it's not bright, shiny, and new, and it's not, you know, nobody knows. And I think that Mark pointed that out from Best Buy. He said that people know of two mobile platforms. They know the iPhone, and they know BlackBerry. They don't know Android. They don't know all the other stuff that's out there.
Right.
So,
well, and I think the slide that Mary Meeker, the analyst with Morgan Stanley, in her deck that she presented at Web 2.0 Summit, showed that the iPhone had the fastest ramp of any product ever introduced in history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about the proverbial hockey stick. So clearly it was a paradigm shift, and it was an interface shift, and it was an ease of use shift, and all these good things. And we know what happened. And Android is right along that, and the Palm Pre is right alongside that, and all of that. And so there's been a shift, I think, in the way that people think about what you can deliver to mobile and how you can deliver stuff to mobile. And that's why I think nobody's looking at BlackBerry strategically.
Right.
And that's why Lisa's piece of data about SMS and the making money on SMS was like, yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer. It's so easy.
You know, from a business standpoint, you really got to look at it, the old marketing and really business adage, you know, keep it simple, stupid. The KISS thing, keep it simple, stupid. And really, still, it's all about text messaging for so many people. So it's you know, kind of look for that most widely used thing. That's not to say that smartphone technology and multiple platforms are not going to come of age and people are going to become more aware of them. But I mean, the reason the iPhone launched so, you know, and got so many people believing in this platform was it's dead sexy. It's a beautiful piece of equipment. It means, you know, if I've got one, I'm cool. And I think that that's where maybe Android stumbled a little bit, because their first Google phone was this brick of a G1. Who's going to run out and grab this except for those of us that are really interested in the platform?
Well, especially the geeks out of the Mavericks.
So thank God that the iPhone came before the G1, because it would have probably slowed down the whole mobile ramp up a lot.
Right. Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how all of the, I mean, I connect the dots, right? So I look at all these
kinds of. You have a blog named that, don't you?
I do,
yeah,
as a matter of fact. thank you, Phil. But I blog there while I remain calm.
Thank you so much. Nice segue there. Thank you very much.
Yes. and so what I look at, you know, with the iPad and netbooks and the other smaller devices also that are happening, my daughter Biz that came down with me today, we talked about Clearwire, which is the WiMAX footprint. Mm-hmm. So it's, think of it as Wi-Fi instead of 300 feet around the Wi-Fi router in your house. Now you can have up to 1 mile around a Clearwire WiMAX tower. So you think about the speed increases in 4G networks. Hey, Biz.
Biz is here. I just wanted to get. I want you.
This is Biz Borsch.
Complete your thought.
I will complete my thought. And what it's going to mean for mobile devices, so that you'll have capability to use long-term evolution 4G mobile networks, but you'll also have an option to use WiMAX, and you'll also have Wi-Fi that are available in different hotspots, and it's going to be so ubiquitous that it's going to change the usage of these devices substantially. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why people are here too, is because the people that are here that are the Mavericks, that are the early adopters, are looking at this strategically to say, not where it is, not where are we now,
where will it be? And try to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Biz, tell me, give us an idea of what you're taking away so far from Mobile March. And we're about halfway through the day, so.
Yeah.
Well, directly relating it to my experience at Apple, and I'm sort of thinking about how I can implement these in selling the iPhone and in a couple weeks the iPad. It's interesting to think about how people don't react to technology the way that I do, and the way that the people that are in my life do, is in that, you know, we're all Mavericks and we're all really comfortable with technology, and the things that seem really intuitive to me are not the things that are intuitive to the average consumer, because I'm not the average consumer.
Right.
And so it's thinking about, you know, when I'm selling an iPhone, okay, how can I explain this in ways that are going to make sense and help get people excited about using their phones, coming from only being text messengers into having, you know, 150,000 plus applications, you know, a data plan with automatic, like, instant access to the web and stuff like that. So you
go to the U of M, you're a student there. What do you see when you're there in terms of people's technology use? I mean, are they mainly on laptops still, or
mostly?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And I know that the U has got wireless everywhere, right? I mean,
well, they claim to.
Oh.
But you've been able to find some spots, not so much.
They don't. And I went to the Office of Information Technology the other day because I was having problems getting connected, and they were like, you know, look at the ceiling in the classroom that you're in, and if there's not a router on the ceiling, you're probably not going to get signal.
Interesting.
I don't get signal in probably 30% of my classes, because we're in the basement or there's no router in the classroom. Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
Well, one of the sessions that we did, the one that I put together with the
media
quote
guys.
Unquote legacy media type, again, radio, TV, and newspaper.
Right.
I think that the important thing to remember, and what I wanted to point out in that session, was the number of people, or the segment of people that have only been around mobile, only know that cell phones have always been around, you know, they've been exposed to them their whole lives, is much smaller than those that saw mobile develop. You know, they were there when it started to come, and how important it is for those media outlets to help educate and help bring this new media, this virgin media, or this, you know, this uncharted media into mainstream use. And it's through those outlets, I think, that we're going to see a lot of that.
Yep. Well, and the other thing too that I wonder about is when I think about those three media types, mm-hmm. what they were traditionally, not what they are today, because like they have even admitted they're sort of stepping on each other's spaces a little bit. Star Tribune is delivering video, and WCCO is doing more story text.
All of a sudden, everybody's a TV station.
But what I was really, and I even mentioned this to John Danzer afterwards, as I said, what's interesting is when I look at all three media types, you guys are unique in a lot of ways, WCCO that is, not just as a TV station, but also as a media type, because they are jumping in and engaging the community mm-hmm. in ways that I have never seen any other traditional media outlet do. And I asked him point blank, what would you think? I mean, do you see this as a competitive differentiator for you? And he said, well, you know, we do our best. And, you know, he kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit about it. But the point is that from my perspective, my opinion is that that's what's really going to matter. Because that what I've seen is people that I know personally who are your age, Biz, or I see Lisa Grimm, Lulu Grimm over here. How you doing, Lisa? Even people your age, because you guys, you're in your 20s, and both of you, and are not demographically or psychographically traditional media consumers. And so what I've been talking with people about is what are your media habits? Have they changed? And people are, well, yeah, I got the WCCO app. Yeah, actually, I've been watching Jason Cam. Oh, yeah, I've actually watched a couple of the, you know, evening news broadcasts, about two a week. Okay. You talk to anyone else that's not engaged in social media, it's like newspaper. I haven't picked one up for years. Or I don't watch TV news. No, I mean, because they don't know the people. They're not engaged. And it's because WCCO is engaged in the community and they're connecting with people as people and having blog in ours and they're inviting. So I really look at that kind of stuff and say, you know, is that going to be the bridge? Is that going to be the competitive? I mean, I don't know the answer, mm-hmm. but it was just really interesting to hear the different approaches and how they're doing things.
Well, I had a comment over lunch. Somebody said to me, you know, he basically thought that the three media outlets really were still trying to figure out what to do. And I think Greg Swedberg from Clear Channel said that. He says, we know what we know. But, you know, it becomes this challenge for traditional media to realize, I've got to do my job, you know, the main job, radio, TV, or whatever, but I also have to be pioneering ways to transition it into other medium, which is mobile, which is internet. So, I mean, it's an incredible burden on any business, really, to make that jump, to be able to incorporate what they're doing now into a new model, into a new business model.
So let me ask you guys, Lisa, where do you get your news? If you were...
I'm a little bit unique, and I was talking to John Denzer about this. I do watch the WCCO probably on average about four nights a week, but I'm 27. I went to school and was taught solely traditional public relations. So new media elements were not introduced to me. However, my thesis in college was, how is social networking affecting or effecting essentially the discipline of public relations? So being that I was a personal user of social networking, seeing the application for business, I got into that on my own. But I'm very much... I think being on the tail end of, you know, or being a new millennial, you know, I'm 3 years away from Gen X. So I think that that's a little bit different for me. But I mean, I consume my media mainly online, but I do still take in traditional means of media.
Now, how about you, Biz?
I don't really.
Not at all.
I hardly ever read the news. I mean, maybe I'll open up the WCCO app or the New York Times app on the bus on the way to school, but... Yeah. Frankly, at this point in my life, I don't have time.
We're really at that point of there is that segment of the audience that, or the segment of the population that is lives by that. If it's news, it'll find me.
Right. Yeah, and I'm finding myself personally, I mean, I still read the newspaper because I just love the newspaper. It's incredibly irrelevant, mostly, because either this, I've already read the story, or I've already read like seven different opinions about the main story in different sources by the time I get the paper the next day. But there's always something in there that I haven't seen or I don't know about.
It's called ink, yeah.
Thanks. Well, go ahead.
The thing that I notice is that if it's really important, I'll see it on Twitter or Facebook.
Right.
Or someone at work will tell me. I'll typically hear about it through social media, so I don't really need to go hunting for it.
Well, and the only thing that what I find is in terms of behavior, I love Google News. I mean, I love the aggregator. I love TechMeme as an aggregator of technology news. I played with BlogRunner, which is New York Times' version of that. And what they are trying to do is to say, just like WCCO's The Wire, is that there isn't one perspective of the story. There's 360-degree perspective of the story. And you can look at a story in a lot of different ways. And I know that one of the things that really helps me think about stuff and what the meaning is to be able to look at all these different perspectives and sort of listen to what other people are saying, and also to try to see other things that are happening that are influencing a story. So one, as an example, one that came out was about WikiLeaks, the Netherlands-based place where people, whistleblowers, can send stuff that can then get published. Mm-hmm. And they are publishing stuff from governments all over the world and Microsoft's internal documents about some of their way that they're approaching issues. And so there's all this stuff that's being leaked. And the U.S. government is now after them because these guys are going to show a video on April 5th about some U.S. massacre from drones or something. There's a video of it that got leaked and so forth. And so I'm looking at stuff like that and what the Electronic Frontier Foundation is doing and looking at traditional investigative news. And here's what I think about. And you guys weren't even born yet, but I think about Watergate and Woodward and Bernstein. That Deep Throat was the whistleblower that came to him, you know, one of the two of them, I can't remember who, in a garage to leak this information and help guide them down the course of bringing down the President of the United States because of the criminal activity. And I think about that in the context of all this stuff that's going on is, where are the whistleblowers and where's the news going to come from and how are we going to get it? You know, and can you trust the sources? Because what if somebody's tweeting and they say that they're this person? Yeah, go ahead.
I do just want to say, to your point earlier, I think the reason that I engage in WCCO is because I genuinely feel like they care what I think. And they did that before the tools were available, like Twitter, like things that they've recently created, like apps like The Wire, to engage me more. But they were doing man-on-the-street stuff a long time ago,
right,
and engaging the public. And I think that one-to-many distribution channels are always going to be around, but they're going to be so much more successful if they want to be collaborative. And I think that at the end of the day, when you strip down all these tools, you know, are you collaborating? It's like, great if you have an iPhone app for me, but are you going to show me how to use it in a commercial?
Right.
So that's the interesting thing. We talked about it, and we'll get back to that whole mobile as a way to communicate, to turn traditional media from a one-way medium to a two-way medium. And, I've talked a lot about the fact that, you know, in the media today, the one-to-many, we're really good at talking. Mm-hmm. We're not so great at listening. So, I mean, I think that just like mobile is all about listening.
Well, and I was going to ask this question, but I was being obnoxious. I'm sure that's why I wasn't called on. But was about the shift in big media's thinking about what's happening with the connection of synchronous events. Because let's face it, we're all watching videos asynchronously. You know, whenever we can, we go on and we do it on demand. But there are synchronous events, Academy Awards, Super Bowl, you know, things that you want to watch in real time, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the exciting thing is when you're watching the presidential debate or you're watching the Grammys or whatever, you're on Twitter and you're tweeting with your friends, right? And so it's a way to kind of connect us together as we're having the... So all of a sudden there's been this big aha, because I've been reading articles about it from the standpoint of media saying that's the connection. The connection is how do you help facilitate people who are watching your media or listening to your media while it's occurring, so that they can have a shared experience. Because that's a thing that we miss. I mean, you're old enough, Phil. Going in the morning, the water cooler.
Oh, I'm old.
God, yeah. did you see who was on Johnny Carson last night? And everybody commiserate. Why?
Johnny who?
Yeah, I know. That's because. Thank you.
No, seriously.
I sugar my teeth.
Back when we.
Back in the days before the railroad.
Yeah.
But it's all about, we used to have a shared experience. Yes. You go in the morning, everybody watched the same programs, right? You know, everybody watched whatever was hot on the big three networks. And now it's just like there's 8 billion choices. Well, I know even in our own house, we got the Mac Mini hooked to the iDef TV.
Oh, let's not go there.
Well, no,
you're
just, I know.
You're so
love
far
this.
Off the geek meter. But snap that bad boy off.
So. Hey, Roku box, cheap, easy. But how many times I've been in situations where Alex, son's come down and going, oh my god, I got to show you this video, and he wants to show me on his computer and have me come upstairs. Like, well, let's just look at it on the TV, and he does a quick search on YouTube. And we watch it on the TV, so there's all of this experience that's happening away from that. But to get back to the topic at hand, it's that use of mobile technologies that may potentially be shown as the lifeline to big media, which could be really interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it, I don't know if it's a lifeline, and Greg Swedberg pointed it out, we're all one media. I mean, it's all going to be one media.
Yeah.
It's all one medium now, so, you know, moving into one spot. So
yep.
It'll be interesting to see, but we probably ought to check out some of the other things that are going on.
I was just
going
to say we should probably get back in there.
There's more stuff this afternoon. So,
well, thank you, Phil, and Lisa and Biz, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll be getting, thanks very much to Minovate for being part of covering the event. But we'll also be posting video and photos and that sort of stuff on the
and we'll do links.
Yep.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.